turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. And my text this evening is verse 25 of Isaiah chapter 43. It's a great text, gospel text. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Now, with our Bibles open before us, can we unite together at the throne of grace and prayer? Our gracious God and our Father, we thank thee for the blood of the Lamb that cleanses us from every stain. And our God, we thank thee when our Savior looks upon the blood, he does not see our sin. We thank thee when it's covered over, then it is put beyond God's sight, as it were. And we thank thee for the fact that our sins are blotted out by God. And our Father, we pray that thou wouldst even bless us this evening as we consider thy word, that it might be as a hammer that will break the rock in pieces, that it might be a sword that will pierce into the very fleshy tables of the heart. O God, just shut us in with thyself now, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. The question about how to find forgiveness of sins is not a question that is at the top of everyone's priority list today. Indeed, we live in a day in which it is very much the bottom of many people's priority list. There are many people who live through their lives and never ever consider how they can find forgiveness of sins or how they can get right with the holy God of heaven. But anybody that has really seen things as they ought to be seen will realize that the question of how you can find forgiveness of sins is perhaps the most vital question that a man or a woman could consider, because it is a question that will settle your eternal destiny. It will settle your destiny for heaven with God or for hell without God. And not only will it be a question that will settle your eternal destiny, but it will also settle the quality of your life. Because there are many people who are struggling today because of sin. And the sins that have beset them are the reason for much of the illness that people are enduring today. The psychiatrist Carl Menninger once said that if people in psychiatric hospitals could have the assurance of their sins forgiven, that 75% of them would walk out the next day. But thank God, here is a message of forgiveness. Here is a message that men's sins can be blotted out. And it's a wonderful message because it is set in the midst of sin. If you read the context of what is said here in this mighty promise, we read about a people who were right down in the darkness. They had turned from God and they were in the very depths of sin. But out of the midst of that, God gives a great and mighty promise. And sometimes it is darkest before the dawn. And sometimes out of the darkness, the light shines all the greater. And it's so with this text of Scripture. It is one of God's great constellation texts. And men, women, you need your sins forgiven. There are many people that will tell you all sorts of methods to have your sins forgiven. There are those that will tell you that you need to go through the waters of baptism to have your sins forgiven. Or you need to go through the ordinances of a church, or by works, or by penance, or by joining such and such a church, or such and such an organization. And you know, there are many people who are confused. And one of the reasons why some people don't listen to the gospel today is they say, well, sure, there are all sorts of ways and so many ways that are portrayed, and everybody comes with their own way, and you have the Jehovah's Witnesses and they have their ways, and the Roman Catholics, they have their ways, and the born-again Christians, they have their ways. Sure, who knows what is the way? And some people are put off by that. But men, women, what I want you to see tonight is this is God's way. This is God's way of forgiveness. And I don't want you to listen to what I have to say or just to hear what my words are and my opinion is. But what I want to come with is, thus saith the Lord. You know what it says here? That this is God speaking. He says, Even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. And I want us to see the wonderful truths that are in this text, and that you might come this evening and find your sins forgiven. There are a number of truths in this text of Scripture that I want you to see. And I want you to see, first of all, the pardon that is delivered. God speaks about blotting out transgressions, of blotting out the sins of the people. Here is a pardon. And you notice that it is a divine pardon. It is God that is speaking. It is God that is doing the pardon. And only God can forgive sins. Only God can cleanse your sins away. Nobody else can do that. Now, that is a truth that is underlined in Scripture. But I want you to see it very clearly and very specifically tonight. God forgives sins. We read in the book of Luke, chapter 5, and verse 21. The question is asked, who can forgive sins but God alone? Nobody can. You see, God is the one who has been injured. God, as it were, is the one against whom you have committed the offense. It is God that has been injured by the sins that you do. And it's only the injured party that can forgive. See, if somebody was to do something to you, and somebody went to your friend or somebody went to your neighbor and said, you know, I've committed an awful offense against your neighbor there. Would you not forgive me? Now, if somebody did that, I'm sure the first thing that your neighbor or your friend would do was, why don't you go and speak to the person that you've offended? See, if I was to punch you on the nose tonight, and somebody was standing by and they were watching it, and they were to say, you know, it doesn't matter, I forgive you. Sure, it wouldn't mean anything. It wouldn't mean anything to you that somebody else had forgiven. It is only the person who is injured, it's only the person against whom the offense has been committed that must make the forgiveness. And God is the one against whom sin is the offense. And therefore God is the only one who can forgive you. If any man comes and says he can forgive you, if any organization comes and says they can forgive you, men, women, it's an abomination. Only God can forgive. But here's the wonder tonight. Here's the blessing. God says, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. God is willing to forgive. God is willing to pardon. God is willing to bring you to himself with all the offenses and the sins and the iniquities that you have committed. God is willing to bring you to himself. He's the only one that can forgive you. But he's ready to forgive. He will forgive. If you were to repent this evening and turn to him and ask him for forgiveness of your sins, he would forgive you. That's the blessing. So it's a divine pardon, and it's a complete pardon. You notice what he says here, that he will blot out the transgressions, not just that he will forgive them. But it says that he'll blot them out. It is as if they had never been committed. And the word blot out there is a very interesting word, because it is a word which actually means to wipe out or to obliterate. And God says, not only will I forgive you, but I will treat you as if you've never committed the sin in the first place. Now, the word that is translated blot out there is also a word which is used over in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 9 and verse 14, if you were to turn to it. And here God is speaking to the heathen, or about the heathen nations that were in the land of Canaan. And God says to the children of Israel, let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. Now you notice what God means there. He says he's going to destroy them. He's going to blot them out. He's going to blot out their name from under heaven. That's the same word that is used here about the sins of God's people, those that come to God. He not only forgives them, but he wipes it out. It's as if it never happened. Again, if you were to turn to the next chapter from the one that we were reading, Isaiah chapter 44, there's another instance of it. If you look at verse 22, God says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, And as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. And God here speaks of sin here. And he speaks of it as like a big black cloud, ready to burst. God says, I'll have to blot out your sins. But they're like a big black cloud. They're ready to burst. And the cloud, you know what happens when the cloud bursts and the rain begins to fall and the cloud then dissipates itself. It's destroyed. He says, you're on the brink of destruction. But he says, I can blot out as a thick cloud. I can, even though your sins are like a thick cloud, I can blot them out. I can blow it out. Oh, a big black cloud up there in the heavens. So great is your sin. So much volume has your sin. So black is your sin. It's like a great big thunder cloud. God says, even that I can blot it out. I can blot it out. And thank God this evening that that's what God does. It's not only a divine forgiveness or pardon, but it's a complete pardon. You know, in the 14th century, Robert the Bruce of Scotland was leading his men in the battle for independence from England. And near the end of the conflict, the English wanted to capture Robert the Bruce. And they came to his house and they got hold of his bloodhounds, his dogs. And they set the bloodhounds to find their master. And these bloodhounds, of course, were on the trail of their master, and they knew their master well, and they were very close. And the companion of Robert the Bruce said, we're done for. They're on our trail. They'll reveal the hiding place. And he thought that all was up. Robert the Bruce said, don't worry. And he went on through the forest where they were, and he plunged into a stream, and waded upstream and came out again in the forest and disappeared. And of course, the bloodhounds came to the bank of the stream, and they lost the trail. The trail had been wiped away in the stream, and they couldn't find it again. And the English were urging the hounds to find their master, and they were trying with every method they could to pick up the trail again. But the trail had been wiped away by the stream. And the same with you men and women. The sin is like a bloodhound. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It's on your trail. But the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ obliterates the trail. It wipes it away. It's no longer that your sins can follow you. They can't in any way come against you because they're wiped out. God has blotted the sins away. So this is a complete pardon. Not only is it a divine pardon, a complete pardon, but it's a purchased pardon. You see, God cannot blot out anything that has not been paid for. The very fact that he says here that he blots out our transgressions implies that the purchase price has been already paid. And of course, the rest of the Word of God tells us that in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. Again, the Lord speaks in terms of blotting out our sins. And in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, the Lord speaks of blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now this morning we were speaking about the book of remembrance that God has. It's been Remembrance Sunday. We were speaking about having our names written in the book. But here's another book, and this time our names or our sins need to be blotted out of the book. There's a book that is written, and down there are the sins. Now, we're told on the day of judgment that every man will be judged according to his works. There is a handwriting that is written against you, and it is in heaven. Your sins are written down, men and women. But God says that he will blot out the handwriting of ordinances that is against us. And how does he do that? Because our Savior paid the price. You see, in a judicial, if there is a charge that is laid, and this is a judicial charge, then something has to be done to pay the price. And our Savior, of course, went to the cross of Calvary to pay the price of our sins. He cried, it is finished. And he says, here I, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Our Savior paid the price. He paid it all that we might be forgiven. He paid it all that you might have your sin blotted out, obliterate it. You will stand justified. You will stand as one before whom the sin that you've committed is no longer chargeable. I, even I, he says, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. So we notice here the pardon that is delivered. But then notice something else, the people that are forgiven. Because this makes it even more wonderful, because when you look here at the dark background of this wonderful promise, it gives us a greater light. Because when you look here, you notice the people that God is giving this promise to. And this is one of the great hopes of the Bible. There are many people that feel that they're so far down in sin that God could do nothing for them. This is one of the great hopes of the gospel. Now notice some things that are said about the people that God promises that he will forgive. Notice that they're a godless people. Now look up the passage there. Look at verse 22. Look at what God says about these people to whom he gives this wonderful promise. He says, "But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel." Now you notice, by the way, that these people had not committed the sin of murder, though they might have done, I don't know, but that's not what they're chargeable for here. They're not chargeable for murder or for stealing or anything else. What were they chargeable for? That they were weary of God. Weary of God. And I want to tell you, there are many people in this community and many people round about us who are weary of God. Weary of His Word. Weary of those that preach it. Weary of those that tell them that they need to be born again of the Spirit of God. At least you're here this evening. At least you've been brought in under the sound of the Word of God. You haven't dismissed God to that extent. But I want to tell you, there are many people that have sat under the sound of the Word of God, and eventually, as the heart has become hardened, they've become weary of God. I want you to guard against that sin. But listen, God says to these people, guilty before Him, guilty of being weary of Him, weary of the God that had made them, weary of the God that provided for them, weary of the God that had been with them through the hardships and trials of their experience. He speaks of how He gave them waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert and things like that. But they were weary of Him. Maybe you're weary of God, weary of His Word. Weary. But God says even to these people, "I'll forgive you. But you've got to turn." They were a godless people. Not only were they a godless people, but they were a thankless people. Look at what it says in verse 23. "Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense." And these people had all the material blessings, and they had been given so much, and God had multiplied their blessings upon them. And it tells us here that it had increased manyfold. But God says, "You've not even brought me the small cattle. You haven't even thanked me. You haven't even come to give me thanks for the blessings. Not even the small cattle." You know, we live in an age of affluence, especially in this land. And I know that there are people that are poor, and I know that there are people that are in want, and even in our own land. But, you know, compared to many lands, even those who are in the most distressing circumstances, most of them are better off than many another one across in the workplaces where they have nothing and they're scraping a living and they don't know where the next crust will come from. And yet we take our blessings for granted. You know, God has given you so much. He's given you so much. But He says to these people, "You haven't even brought me the small cattle. You haven't even brought something back to me. You haven't even worshipped me right." What sort of an ungrateful wretch is spoken of here? And yet, how many? How many are described? And God says, "I am He that blotteth out that transgression." They were a godless people and a thankless people. They were a useless people. Look at verse 24. He said, "Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, Neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. What were they doing? Well, they were weary of God. And you have one of the instances of judgment and kind here, as it were. God was weary of them. Now, what is the chief end of man? What is man for today? The catechism tells us that man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. But instead of these people having fellowship with God and being brought into God's presence, instead they wearied God. Wearied God. By their continual turning from Him. By their continual rejection of Him. Isn't that a peculiar thing? Isn't that a striking thing? That God could get weary. You just be careful you don't weary God. Just be careful you don't come to the place where God is brought to the place where He's weary of you. These were useless people. They should have been glorifying God, but they'd come to the point where God was weary of them. And look at this. Look at verse 28. These were just even, by the way, the most wicked people of society. Because he says in verse 28, therefore I profaned the princes of the sanctuary. So these were people that had been in God's house, or some of them anyway. It mentions the princes of the sanctuary. Those were the people who looked after the sanctuary, who had the care and the government and the charge of the sanctuary, of the temple. They were involved. See, it's not enough to go along to church. It's not enough to be involved in the running of a church or in the affairs of the church. You could be doing that and still weary in God. God says to these people, and this is the amazing thing, these people that had wearied Him, these people that had turned their backs upon them, He says, I, the pure, holy God, the righteous God, even I, will blot out thy transgressions. So men, women, you can come this evening, you can come. You might have wearied God. You might have been thankless. You might have turned your back upon Him, but you can come this evening and find forgiveness at His feet. So we notice the pardon that is offered, and we notice the people who are forgiven. But then notice the promise that is made, because God goes further. Not only does He say that He'll blot out their transgressions for my own sake, He says, and will not remember my sins. And we have already touched upon it, but you notice the intensity of that promise is exceedingly deep. We're speaking about justification here. God says, I'll not remember them. And there's a striking thing. We spoke about the book of remembrance this morning, that God has in His book of remembrance. Now, how God does not remember, I can't explain to you, because God knows all things. And what it means that God doesn't remember, I don't know. You know, the Bible says this, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You know, the old devil would try to accuse the people of God. He would want to bring up our past sins and all the things that we have done in the past. But you know, in Micah chapter 7 and verse 9, God speaks and He says to the people in that day that He says, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And when God takes away our sins, not only does He blot them out, but He casts them into the depths of the sea. And you notice that it doesn't just say that He puts them into the sea, but He puts them in the depths of the sea. He doesn't just put them in the shallows where the old devil would go with his fishing hook and try to hook them out again. No, He puts them right into the depths where no imp of hell or no fiend or no devil will ever drag them up again. Hallelujah! They're under the blood and they're in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. Those sins are totally blotted out. Notice not only the intensity of the promise, but notice the incentive for it. Why does He do this? Is it because of something in the people that are here? No, you notice here, it says in verse 25, for mine own sake. Why does God forgive? For his own sake. Why does God cleanse the sinner? For his own sake. You know, when Paul was writing to the Ephesians, and you read at the start of the book of Ephesians, he describes them as the saints of God, and he describes them as being to the praise of the glory of his grace. Is it anything in me? No, it's nothing in me. Is it something I've done or some spark that's in me? No, it's nothing in me. He does it for his own sake. He does it for his own sake. And he'll bring me to glory. Oh, you say, oh, there's something I could do. There's something that I must do to merit this. No, you can't do anything. He does it for his own sake. But thank God he is a God of mercy. He is a mercy, a God who delights in mercy. And he will save. And you notice the intensity of the promise and the incentive for the promise. He does it for his own sake. But then notice the immediacy of the promise. He doesn't say, I, even I, will be he that blotteth out thy transgressions. You notice that it's in the present tense. He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions now. He blots them out now. He can take your sins away now. This promise can be obtained immediately. You don't have to wait until some other time. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You're only guaranteed now. You're only guaranteed now. So you must come now. There's an interesting story recorded in the May the 2nd, 1985 edition of the Kansas City Times in the United States. And it was the report of some fans of the short story writer O. Henry. And they were making an attempt to clear his name. O. Henry had been convicted of in 1898 of embezzling $784.08 from the bank where he was employed. And these people felt that the case was not right, and they felt as his fans that they should try and clear his name. But it was found in the United States court system that you cannot give a pardon to a dead man, so they couldn't proceed with the case. You see, by the legal standards, a pardon had to be given to somebody that could accept it. And that was interesting because in 1830, George Wilson was convicted of robbing the United States mail, and he was sentenced to be hanged. And President Andrew Jackson issued a pardon for Wilson, but he refused the pardon. He didn't want to take the pardon. And so they didn't know what to do. The president had issued a pardon, and the man didn't want to accept it. He wanted to die. He wanted to go and pay for his crimes. And there was a sort of a debate about whether he should hang or not. And it went to the Chief Justice Marshal. And he concluded that Wilson would have to be executed. And he said, a pardon is a slip of paper, the value of which is determined by the acceptance of the person to be pardoned. If it is refused, it is no pardon. And he concluded, George Wilson must be hanged. And it's interesting when you compare those two stories, because for some, like O. Henry, pardon comes too late. And for some, like George Wilson, pardon will not be accepted. And then, woman, God is willing to pardon. He says, I will blot out thy transgressions. Don't let that pardon come too late, because there will be a day when it's too late. And don't pass that pardon by, because you will not accept it. The pardon is an offer. What you need to do is accept the pardon. Be saved. Find eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I will blot out thy transgressions. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we bless thee for thy precious word this evening. And we ask that thou wouldst speak on to hearts and draw sinners to thyself, thou art able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by thee. Speak now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're going to